Psalms 51. We'll just read the entire chapter. We'll not preach from the entire chapter, but we just want to take a thought and just sort of preach on a simple thought tonight of my sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings, the sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." You can be seated. If you've got your Bible should say to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So if you study this and read after a lot of the commentators, then you'll find out that this was a time after David had committed that sin with Bathsheba, and he was repenting of that sin and getting right with God. And, you know, I've always said this, I believe that the reason David was a man after God's own heart was because David knew how to repent. I mean, David, he was a man that believed in eternal security. You say, how do you figure that back in the Old Testament? Well, salvation's always been by faith in doing what God told them to do. He told them to bring the sacrifices, but they were saved actually by faith. And David said over in one of the Psalms, said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he'll not utterly be cast down." And here he said, and we know that also that during the Old Testament, when men were walking with the Lord, the Spirit would come upon them, and they didn't indwell them. And David told him, said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He said, "Take not the Holy Spirit from me." David's sin has separated him from fellowship with God, so to speak, because of the terrible sin that he committed there with Bathsheba. And we see that David was the penman of this psalm here. And just two or three things here about this psalm before we give you the thought that we have on my sin this evening. But first of all, we see David's plea there in verse 1. It said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." You know, that's what we need tonight as a country and a nation. We need His mercy. As individuals, we need God's mercy upon us, because I'm going to tell you, we're just prone to take off and walk away from God. We're prone to just get out of the will of God. But David, he knew. He knew that he needed the mercy of God. He said, "According to thy loving kindness." Aren't you glad we got a loving God tonight? Aren't you glad that we've got a God that loves us enough that He will show us mercy a lot of times instead of giving us justice? If we all, even those us that are saved tonight, if we had our just dues, as I mentioned just a minute ago, we'd be in hell tonight. I'm glad that through grace and through faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that Jesus made when He laid His life down and He died and shed His blood, was buried there and resurrected again the third day. He pleased God. He pleased God as far as the sacrifice for the sin for all eternity. And I'm glad that we can place our faith in Him. But we see David's plea. We see David's desire in verse 2. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." That word iniquity is wickedness or my sin. And we know that David's acknowledging his sin. And he's asking God to wash him thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin there. So we see David's desire was to be clean. We see David's acknowledgement there in verse 3. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Even though David, he's acknowledging his sin was always before him. I mean, David's paid fourfold for that sin with Bathsheba, there as he took Uriah's wife, as he took Uriah's life. He was just as sure as Uriah died, David killed him just as well as the archers of the other army did there, because he sent him up there. He commissioned Joab to send him to the front line. So we see David's acknowledgement. We see David's realization there in verse 4. It said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." So we see David's realization here that he had sinned against God. I mean, he had offended a holy God through the wickedness of his sin. And we know that it caused a lot of complications in David's life, and it brought a reproach upon the name of God. Did you know that you and I as saved people tonight, those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we can bring a great reproach upon Christ tonight through our sin. Through my sin. My sin offends God. My sin brings reproach upon God, especially those that are called Christians. And when we sin and do wrong, we break the heart of God. I mean, and we bring a reproach upon the name of our God. We bring a reproach upon our churches when we get out in sin. And people know that we're professing Christians, you know, and they see us there in the acts of sin. And it brings great reproach upon the name of God in this day and hour of grace that we're living in. We see David's problem, which we all have that problem. Verse 5, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in wickedness. I was shapen, and in sin," he said, "did my mother conceive me." You know, we all come forth as sinners. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. And we have to have our sin took care of. And you know, there's nothing that you and I can do to take care of our sin except place our faith in Jesus Christ, accept His free gift of forgiveness, and His free gift of salvation. And that's all we can do is just place our faith in Him and keep those sins out of our lives, you know, and realize what our sin does. But I preached this message a time or two in the past, one night at chapel up at the school, when Brother Hatcher had asked me to have chapel, and Brother Wheeler, he heard him ask me, or he told him that I was going to preach. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what," he said, "I'll come and listen to you if you won't preach on my sin." And so the Lord began, the wheels began to turn in my mind, and I began to think about my sin. This passage of Scripture come to me, and I began to work on this and think and meditate upon it. And I come up with this little short message here on my sin in chapter 51 here, where David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins are ever before me." But let me look at just a few things about my sin this evening, and then we'll go to the house. First of all, we see the cause of my sin there in verse 5, as I've already mentioned there. It was because we were born sinners. But where did sin originate? Sin originated in the Garden of Eden. We know that, first of all, well, go back a little ways. It originated when Satan fell. Satan was one of the most beautiful angels that there was, and He was in control of all the angels, and he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God. He got pride, rebellion in his heart, and he thought he'd lead a rebellion against God. He thought he'd knock God off the throne and he'd take the throne. Well, Satan got cast out because of that sin. That's where the first sin originated, was with Satan. And we know that according to the book of Isaiah, and Ezekiel tells us and alludes to some of those that about how Satan fell, the anointed cherub that was there with God in heaven, and we know that he was going to try to take over the throne of God. So we see that Satan caused sin there in the very beginning when he fell. We see also that Adam brought sin upon mankind. We know that God had created the earth, the heavens and the earth, and we know that he had created man. He put him in the midst of the garden, then he put him into a deep sleep. The first anesthesia was performed by God when he put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib and he made Eve his helpmeet. And we know, according to Genesis chapter 3, what took place there, that the Bible said that the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. We know that Satan had evidently used the serpent there, and maybe indwelt him, and he come to Eve, and he tempted Eve, and he tried to shed doubt upon the Word of God. They changed the Word of God, said, yea, God said, and questioned the Word of God. And we know that Eve, she got out from under her head there, and she partook of the forbidden fruit, whatever that fruit was. You know, everybody alludes to it as being an apple, but whatever that tree of knowledge was, we know that Eve partook of that. And then she gave of that tree to Adam. Adam took of it willingly because he knew and he was thinking that his mate was going to die because she had taken of that fruit. He didn't totally understand, but anyway, he didn't want to be separated from me. He partook of it willingly, and from that moment on, a sin passed upon all men. And that's why when we come into this world now, our father Adam, he brought that sin upon us. The Bible says, wherefore, as one man sin entered in this world, and death by sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Anyone tells you they've never sinned, you mark them up that they're a liar. And we know that we've all sinned, and we've come short of God's grace, and we've come short of God's glory there. But we know that Satan caused sin. Adam brought sin upon mankind. We know that carnality causes sin. This flesh has got to be brought in check. I mean, this flesh will, as usually, the devil gets a lot of blame for a lot of things that he don't do. I mean, your flesh, you'll lose this battle if you don't bring your flesh under a subjection. I wanted to read you a email that I had gotten this morning. It was from Brother Wales. He said, Brother Terry said, we prayed earnestly for you this morning. Judges 2:21 and 22 state that the Lord left the remaining Canaanite nations to prove Israel whether they would serve the Lord or the flesh. The Lord left our old man within to prove us as to whether we would serve him or our flesh. My dear brother said, keep the flesh in subjection, lest you be a castaway. Be determined to finish well for his glory. And I thought that was real ironic this morning that Brother Wells sent me that, and then the Lord sort of led me this way tonight to preach on Psalms chapter 51 and my sin. And carnality causes my sin, and carnality causes your sin because you don't have that flesh brought under subjection. We know that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and we don't do the things sometimes because we're not reckoning that old man dead, because we're yielding ourselves to the flesh, to wickedness, to the things that our eyes see, the things that draw us as fleshly people sometimes when we don't deal with our sin upon a regular basis. I'm going to tell you, if you get out of this Bible, you get away from praying, you start yielding to the flesh, you start looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at, and I'm going to tell you, the next thing you know, you'll be in sin, you'll be in trouble with God, you'll be in trouble with man, a little here and a little there, and the next thing you know, you're in deep sin and deep trouble. And we see carnality causes my sin. What we need to do is just get rid of our carnality. Hey, if we're saved by the grace of God and we've been saved for any length of time, hey, that old man ought to be dissipating away. Paul said he died daily. The trouble with most people that stays in sin, stays messed up all the time, is because they're not dying daily. I'm going to tell you, there's so much pornography and stuff going on around this country today. Hey, it's so easily accessible. I'm going to tell you, you better be careful and control your flesh. You better watch what you watch on television. You better get that wicked thoughts and thinking out of your mind and out of your eyes, or that carnal nature will take over. Carnality causes my sin. Society causes my sin. There's not much sin no more that people consider sin. We've got so used to sin. We'll sin and come right on to church and act like everything's hunky-dory. And we're wicked as the devil in our hearts. Our hearts are black. Carnality causes my sin. Society causes my sin. Romans 14:23. I've got... probably ahead. Let's go to Romans 14:23. Let's flip a little bit here. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If whatever we're participating in is not faith that God has given us, faith in the things of God, faith in God's ability to keep us from sin, and we start doubting those things, then that's sin in itself that we're doubting. We're not believing what God said. We can be victorious in our Christian life. Proverbs 24:24 and verse 9. The Bible says, "The thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to man." The thoughts of foolishness. You know, we're not as serious-minded as we ought to be most of the time. We're thinking foolish things. We're dabbling in foolish things. The thought of foolishness is sin. 1 John 3:4. Most of you know this passage. 1 John 3:4. It said, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." What is the transgression of the law? Let's go back to Exodus 20 for just a minute. Let's look at just a few passages there. This just come to me. Exodus 20. Here's the law that God gave Moses. He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Well, I wonder what kind of idols we've got in our lives. "And to show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." How many times a day do we take the Lord's name in vain? Oh my. I used to have a guy that I worked with. He was bad to say Jesus Christ, and he didn't say it in the right way either. You can take the name of the Lord in vain in many ways. And some people just plain out take it in vain. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is it within the gates. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So we see for sin is the transgression of the law, and all the laws of God stem from these 10 things. Everything that we sin against will relate and go back to one of these laws of God somewhere along the line. And then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Hey, if it's not righteous, it's sin. If it's wicked, it's sin. This society don't know what sin is. I mean, the Bible says the devil's the prince, power of the air, the airways. He's running loose today. He's not chained, contrary to what some people might say. He's not chained. That's why all this junk that we've got on television and the internet and Brother Sammy says, you better watch that internet, it'll net you. And these phones that we got now, all these kids, every kid's got a phone, and why are there so much trouble today? They've got so much access. We don't know what they're doing on a phone. All this texting. We don't know what's going out on pictures and different things. Society causes my sin. The pressures, the peer pressures of society, the cause of my sin. The corruption of my sin. Can I say the corruption of my sin, it spreads like a cancer? You know, somebody find out that this young lady that's got cancer. Now, we've come a long way. They've got a lot of treatments that they can do. They put a lot of the little Addie. Stephen said that she was doing pretty good now, really good. I talked to him and asked him about it today. And she's got cancer, and they went in and done some surgery on her leg, and they said that leg won't really start healing up till they quit doing the chemo and stuff, but she's doing really well. They've got a lot of things. Miss Katie, she's had cancer, and she's on the mend. She's gaining weight, and she's on her way to recovery. There's a lot of people are cancer-free that's had cancer. It's because of technology, and they probably got more technology that they could use, but it's a moneymaker. Society. Society causes my sin. The corruption of my sin spreads like cancer, and it spreads like a fire. Cancer sometimes, I've seen people that found out they had cancer, and then 3 weeks they're dead. 3 weeks. Some, it lingers on for years, and they battle it, and they battle it, and they fight it. But it spreads like cancer, it spreads like a fire. You ever seen a fire break out? And it begins to spread, and when it begins to build, and it starts to burn, it burns everything in its way. That's what sin does. It's like a fire, and it burns, and it destroys everything that it comes into contact with. Me and a friend of mine one time, we was hunting down in Greene County. And we were in a clear cut. And we found a flare. And we were old enough to know better. I mean, we were adults. We pulled that flare out, and that thing shot up in the air. We didn't know if it worked or not. Brother Chris, that thing shot up in the air, and it landed on the other hill, and it was dry. And when that thing hit, man, it started spreading. Man, old Brother Harold, we took off running over there, and we went to beating and beating and beating and beating. But I'm going to tell you, if we hadn't been there and seen that at that moment, that whole place would have burned up probably. We put it out. We got it out. But I'm going to tell you, it was spreading fast, and we got nervous, real nervous. Fire spread, and that's the way cancer does. Cancer spreads. It destroys. Let me say, it deceives. Sin deceives. People think that they can sin and get away with it. Be sure your sins will find you out. You might get away with it for a little while, dabbling around in it, but I'm going to tell you, some words out there you're going to get caught up with. I don't care who you are and how good you cover up your track, you follow people and they'll get caught and they'll get busted. The corruption of my sin, it spreads like a cancer, like a fire, it destroys it to see. We see not only the cause of my sin, the corruption of my sin, but we see the conflicts of my sin. Hey, there's a warfare going on, people, whether you realize it or not. Galatians chapter 5. The conflict of my sin. If God could just remove the blinder that's hiding the spiritual warfare going on, it would probably blow everybody's mind. We don't think about that spiritual warfare that's going on. The spiritual warfare with the believer and the forces of the flesh and the spirit world. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, we've got a warfare going on in us. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit," that's the problem right there. Hey, we're not led of the Spirit. We're not seeking the direction of the Spirit, and we get in trouble. The Spirit won't lead you into sin. Said, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Can I say that word fornication? I believe that's the very word that we get the word. It comes from a word porneo, and it don't just mean sexual acts outside of marriage. It means all immorality. That's all inclusive of pornography, any kind of wicked movies or anything like that. That's all fornication. Paul told Timothy, he said, flee fornication. And I'm going to tell you, there's so much pornography going on and people dabbling around in that stuff today, and they get to looking at this and looking at that. Next thing you know, they're in sin. And it's sin. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness. Have you ever seen so much drunkenness today? Alcohol is so easily accessible. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There'll be no drunkards in heaven. There'll be no fornicators in heaven. Now, they may be committing fornication down here, but there'll be no fornicators in heaven, I promise you that. If you're saved, you can't keep on in that kind of a lifestyle right there and get away with it. God will chasten you. The Bible says if you're without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. Hey, if you can do these things and you don't get chased and you don't get dealt with, I would check up. There's a high probability that you may have never slid forward. Then he goes on and says, but fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We see the conflicts of my sin, warfare going on. Romans chapter 7, we'll read this just a little bit right here, and we'll go move on. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Chapter 7 verses 15 through 25. I'm going to tell you, if Apostle Paul had problems, if he had problems with his flesh, I think we would do well to take notice. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that new man, the Holy Spirit that's taken up abode and made that new person there. He said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity up to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Which are you serving tonight? Are you serving the flesh? Are you a servant to the flesh? Or are you a servant of the Spirit? Paul, what Paul's saying here, he said, I want to do good, but when I don't do it, it's not me. It's not that inner man. It's not that new man. It's that old man that I'm listening to, that flesh. And there's a warfare, that flesh and that new man. The conflicts of my sin. We see the confusion of my sin. It confuses sometimes the new convert. Those that just get saved. They get saved and the next day, hey, that evil thought that comes in their mind and they're confused. They say, well, I thought I got saved. Or that temptation that comes their way. It confuses. We know the Bible says that God's not the author of confusion. It's the devil. In the flesh. It confuses the new convert. It confuses sinners sometimes. The confusion of my sin. That's why it's so important that we learn about that old man, that new man. And how to not walk after that flesh. It's going to take a daily diet of this Bible. It's going to take a daily diet of refusing those things. You can't do it on your own. You can't live the Christian life on your own. You've got to let the Holy Spirit of God live it through you. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Problem is, people's trying to do it on their own. Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God, for they're spiritual and they're spiritually discerned. The confusion. The complication of my sin. Sin complicates lives. Did you know that? You're not the only one it's going to affect. Your sin's going to affect your children. It's going to affect those that are around you. Your sins are going to affect your spouse. Your sin will affect this church. Achan, he took of that Babylonian garment and he dug a hole in his tent and he buried it there and they went out to battle and they lost the battle. Moses said, okay. God told Moses, said, Achan's took of the accursed thing. And anyway, they had to deal with that. Flesh. AI, type of the flesh. They couldn't win that battle. Sin in the camp. We got to deal with sin. David's sin complicated his life. David, a man after God's own heart, went out on the rooftop and he looked down through there. He should have been at war out there with the men and he's up on the rooftop in leisure. Said it was at a time when kings went to war and David tarried at Jerusalem. And in his tarrying, he was looking, and he got to lusting, he got to longing, and he took of something that he shouldn't have took. He took another man's ewe lamb. And it complicated his life. He paid fourfold. Fourfold. And we wonder why we don't see God do something sometimes. David's sin. Amnon raped Tamar, his sister. And then Absalom, he killed Amnon. And then Absalom, he raised up on David and tried to take the kingdom from David. The child that Bathsheba brought into this world, it died. That's how we know that babies go to heaven. David said, I can't bring it back, but I can go to it. This Bible always got the answer. These guys used to get on the radio, Brother Keith. Did you remember the guy that he preached that babies went to hell? He was on the radio. I ain't going to call his name because somebody would probably hear me on the radio and stir up a stink. He's wrong. I'll tell you after church who it was. David's sin that complicated his life. Jonah's sin complicated the crew's life. Because Jonah went down to Joppa, he bought a ticket, he went down, went down into the ship, and next thing you know, he's in a storm. He's down there sleeping. That's why people are got sin a lot of time, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're asleep. They're asleep to the fact they don't have a clue. They had to go down and wake up Jonah. Said, rise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God, lest we drown. And they started throwing out all the tackle, everything, the supplies, the cargo. They cast it overboard, and Jonah said, hey, wait, throw me overboard, and the seas have become calm. They said, no, man, we ain't going to do that. Call upon your God. He said, no, throw me over. And they throwed him over. Jonah got ready to do what God told him to. He swallowed it, got it swallowed by the whale. God prepared a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah. That got him ready. And it vomited him up, puked him up a bank. Said he began to enter into Nineveh, a city of a 3 days' journey. Began to preach, judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. He got right with God. The maniac of Gadara over in Mark chapter 5. No doubt his life was complicating his family's life. No man could tame him. But I'm glad Jesus passed by. I'm going to tell you, Jesus can change your attitude. He can change your life. He can change your mentality. He can change your spirituality if you'll just let Him. We see the confession of my sin, verses 12 through 13. Sin has to be confessed. David confessed his sins, said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors. You know, we get the sin out of our life, then maybe we can witness to somebody. We can see some fruit coming forth of that witnessing. He began to acknowledge the acknowledgement. Began with the acknowledgement in verse 4, the restoration in verse 12, the rest in the latter part of verse 12 there. He said, and up. Hold me with thy free spirit. And then we see the results in verse 13. It said, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. We see the confession of my sin, the cleansing, then in verse 7. It said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I'm glad tonight that the sinner can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this Miss Lily? If he'll come, they'll come like a little child and call on Jesus. I'm glad there's cleansing from the guilt of sin. The devil might bring it up, but I'm going to tell you, there's no guilt there for the believer anymore. When God takes it away, it's gone. It's gone. We see also the cleansing of the saint from the defilement of sin. David, a man after God's own heart, committed terrible sin here. And he realized he needed to confess his sin. He needed to forsake his sin. He realized that he had a problem that had to be dealt with. And David knew how to confess sin. I say this all the time, and I hope you get this. God knows what your sin is, but He wants you to know what it is. He wants you to confess fornication. He wants you to confess adultery. He wants you to confess an angry spirit. He wants you to confess a wandering eyes. He wants you to confess your evil thinking. It does good just write it down sometime. Say, Lord, here they are. I want you to forgive me. This year, just confession of sin in general, ain't going to work. No.
God wants you to confess it. He wants you to know what it is. So when you confess it, then there's a good chance if you'll look at it and see what it is, you'll forsake it. True confession, there'll be some forsaking. David said, my sin is ever before me. That, hey, it may come up in your mind. You may think about it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get away. But let me tell you, God forgets it. He's a God that can forget. My sin is ever before me, but my sin doesn't have to defeat me. I'm glad there's victory in Jesus tonight. And He wants us to confess that sin. He wants us to know what our sin is doing. My sin. How about your sin tonight? How's your relationship with Jesus? Is it okay? Is there hidden sin in your life? We need to deal with it tonight. There may be someone listening to us tonight. You dabbling in sin, reason you ain't in church tonight, probably. But you know, there's just something about a person that's really saved, they can't get away from Jesus. They might be out of church not going, but they some of them slipping around watching live stream or something, or they may be coming across this just accidentally. Sometimes it comes up, they might see something, they say, click. God's got a message for people. He's got a message for us tonight. About my sin and what it does to the heart of God. Lord, we thank You again for Your Word. Thank You that You are a forgiving God, that there's nothing that You won't forgive us, Lord, if we'll just be honest and confess it. I'm glad that You're a loving God. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, I'm thankful that You don't always give us judgment, Lord, or justice, but Lord, You are a merciful God, Lord, and I pray that Your will be done. Take this message this evening. I pray the ones that listen by live stream, Lord, that You'll touch their hearts, touch our hearts here in this congregation. Realize that our sin messes our lives up, Lord, and affects others. Not just us, but it affects others. Lord, maybe some little one. Lord, maybe some neighbor that's watching us. Maybe that sinner that's just on the verge of dying and going to hell, Lord, maybe looking at us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to realize that. In Jesus' name, we love You. Amen.